give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away.
Amen, my brothers and sisters. I greet you tonight in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is so good to see all of you on Zoom. Amen. We made it. We made it. We made it to the end of the year. In a few, just about an hour, maybe 2 hours or so, it will be 12 o'clock, 12:01, and we would have made it. We would have completed this year and completed it in victory. And so we give God glory and praise and honor for that on tonight. As I was scanning through Zoom, I saw some surprises on tonight. Brother Evan, so glad to see you. Amen. I've known him since he was in the womb, as the old mothers would say. It's good to see Sister Monty. God bless you. I give you a spiritual hug tonight. And Sister Carla, I've been missing you. Amen. I don't like to call names because you know you always forget somebody. But on today, as I was putting this message together, not really feeling great, I got a phone call. And Sister Bonnie, she was our co-laborer at Mesh. And I got so excited. All I could do was laugh. I was so excited. And so she's on tonight. So Sister Bonnie, God bless you. And listen, she has a brand new grandbaby, beautiful baby. So the Lord has been good to us. And for that, we are grateful. Amen. Our scripture tonight can be found in the book of Lamentations, the third chapter, verses 21 through 24, which reads according to the King James Version. It says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him." Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for bringing us to this hour, for bringing us to this day. I thank you for your hand of protection that has watched over us and has kept us safe. I thank you, dear God, for giving us a mind to want to be on Zoom tonight, that we could hear what thus saith the Lord. I thank you, dear God, for all that you have done, for that in which you're getting ready to do. And I thank you for your word. I ask, dear God, that you will anoint these lips of clay, that the word will come forth with power and demonstration. I pray, dear God, that it will come forth with clarity of thought. And God, I bind everything that would come against what you would say to your church on tonight. I ask, dear Father, that I would decrease, but you would increase and move in power and might, dear God. Lord, anoint your word and anoint your servant to preach your word on tonight. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And then, God, give us a heart to receive it and a mind to work it out, that your word will become a part of our everyday walk-a-day lives. Use us, dear God, and I won't ever forget to give your name the glory, the honor, and the power that is due to you in Jesus' name. Amen. The subject on tonight is I'm still here. Amen. So if we were in church, I would tell you to tell your neighbor, I'm still here. And just say with a little attitude, I'm still here. In spite of all I've been through, I'm still here. In spite of what it looks like, I'm still here. In spite of what my bank account says, I'm still here. In spite of what the doctor's report says, I'm still here in Jesus' name. And I am grateful for that on tonight. Hallelujah. So I'm sure some of you will agree with me that 2020 was like a year right out of the old Alfred Hitchcock movie. Now, some of you may not know who Alfred Hitchcock was, but you know, Google him after I get finished. But it was like a year right out of the old Alfred Hitchcock movie. We had drama, we had pain, we had death, we had massive unemployment, a president who plotted a rigged election lie, and an attorney with mascara dripping down his face. At any moment, I was expecting to wake up and find that either it was a bad dream or I had left the television on all night again. And so what I mean is that we would have been running around. Who would have thought that we would have been running around in 2020 trying to find toilet paper and disinfectant spray? And as comical as this may seem, the situation went from bad to worse and still not have been rectified. The stories have become more intense, the pain more severe, depression and anxiety attacking the people of God all at the same time. And so when I looked at the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah is one of my favorite prophets because he was called the, or is known as the weeping prophet, meaning to me that he was the prophet who had a feeling for the people of God. It wasn't just a job to him, but Jeremiah felt everything that the people of God was going through. And so I'm sure if he would look through the lenses of time, he would understand what we're going through in this day. Because if you look at his, if you look at his work, look at his gospel, you'll find out that he walked through the streets and alleys of Jerusalem and saw nothing. Amen. But pain and suffering and destruction. And I'm sure you agree that that's where a lot of us are right now. We see his raw emotion through the pages of the book of Lamentations as he was put, or as he put himself in the position of the entire nation. He took this whole thing very, very personal. He cries out in the third chapter of the book by saying, I am the man. I am he who has been afflicted by the rod of God's wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. The prophet is depressed. And so there's a lot of people who say Christians don't get depressed. Yes, they do. There's a lot of people who say that, you know, we're the happy group and we're always smiling and laughing and, you know, we just got it all together and we just got it all figured out and, you know, we're just great. That is not true. The prophet is depressed. He has an overwhelming sadness, hopelessness, and has shrouded himself with darkness, closed himself off from the possibility of help and hope. He feels God has turned his hand against him and he is all alone. Classic symptoms of depression. I remember once my family and I was going to Carolina to visit my older brother. Amen. And my brother was such a gifted and creative person. He had the ability to turn nothing into a brilliant something. He was always happy, always making jokes, the life at the party. But the day that we went to see him, the house was dark. I had never seen it anything like this in my entire life. The house was dark. The shades were black. It looked like midnight in the middle of the day. He was drifting away a little at a time. Depression has a way of drawing the very life from you, will cause you to be delusional, hurt where there is no pain. And instead of reaching outward, you go inward. Amen. A lot of times just closing the door, don't want anyone to know where you are, because part of you has gone on to a place where you don't see any light and you don't see any hope. And so alone and afraid and feeling like no one cares, he shut himself off from everything and everybody. There's a little lady that we walked with in the park early in the morning, 8:30 in the morning, we're at the park. And these ladies are about 25 years older than I am, and they beat me around the track. Amen. And so there's a little lady who walks with us, and she was speaking with me one morning and said she had breast cancer, lung cancer. Amen. And she had brain cancer. Her husband left her while she was fighting the battle of her life. Said she lost her mom and her dad within 4 years. And as she was speaking, tears welled up in my eyes. Although, amen, it did not happen to me, I entered into her pain and could identify with Jeremiah, as he says, he is an individual suffering. He's carrying the pain of all. So he made this thing so personal and he carried everybody's pain. He felt what they felt. That's the thing about intercession. You cannot tell me that you are interceding for me and you're fighting for me through prayer and you don't know where I am or you don't know what I'm going through. But Jeremiah says that he is an individual suffering. So it all became one. It wasn't Sister Sally and Brother Jane. All of it had combined upon him, and he was carrying the whole load of it. We are all going through this pandemic, some financially, some physically, and yet others spiritually, hungry for the house of God and the interaction of the people of God. We are all affected differently, but we are all being touched. The prophet says the prophet said, God has led me and made me to walk in darkness. This seems to be the hardest part to accept, that God would lead us to darkness. Come on, can we talk on this afternoon? And can we break it down? Amen. Can we just get out of the point where everything is wonderful and we're shouting? And can we get to the point where this is my issue? Let's talk about that. And so we often think that God is such a loving God. He will not lead us into suffering. He will not lead us into pain, because we think only good comes from the hand of God. And if we're going through any type of trial, it has to be from the enemy. But I learned, and I am learning, that the sweetest thing about suffering is that many times the things that we learn while we're going through that trial about God, we would have never learned if everything is going well. And so there are times where God will lead us through a certain path that will be dark, that will be dreary, that will be draining, that will be stressful, because he's trying to teach us something that we would not learn any other way. So the prophet says, surely he has turned his hand against me. Jeremiah felt God to be his adversary and not his friend. He has besieged me. Jeremiah and countless others felt themselves surrounded by bitterness and woe, and slowly strangled by God. Listen, he says, he has hedged me in. He has made my chain heavy. The prophet felt as if God had wrapped him with a heavy chain so that he could not feel because of its terrible weight. So he felt like God had put such a heavy burden on him that he could not even feel himself because the burden was so overwhelming. Is anybody there? Am I talking to anybody on tonight with whatever it is that you're carrying is so overwhelming that you can barely get out of the bed in the morning? It's so overwhelming that you can barely get up at night because of the pain, because of the intense suffering, because it's the load you feel is too heavy for you. Our nation is in mourning, and you can feel it. It's in the airways. It's in the grocery store. It's in the places where you conduct business. People are on edge, and they are heavy with grief. We did a prayer walk not long ago, and as I walked through my community, I got to a point where I sat down on a neighbor's step, and I started to weep. The sorrow was so heavy. And even though I do not know all of my neighbors, I haven't lived here that long, I could feel the heaviness of this particular couple whose home I was sitting in front of. Maybe last week I saw him, the owner of that particular property, and he was talking to my neighbor and telling her that he and his wife had COVID and had lost 7 members of his family. I didn't know what to say. And so I looked at him and I said, I'm so sorry. And as I began to walk away, and then I understood that feeling of heaviness as I sat on his steps. And so it's everywhere. It's almost like you cannot even get away from it. The prophet said, he shuts out my prayer. Now, a lot of folks won't testify to this, but there are times, you know, when you're going through situations, and the situation is so intense that you feel like you just can't pray. Now, I know a lot of you would say, I've never been there. But let me tell you something. I've been there. And so in this time that we're going through, almost every day, people are calling for prayer. Lost family, lost wages, lost jobs, insurance benefits. And they'll say to me, can you pray? I got a call on yesterday that said, can you come? Amen. Can you bring some oil and come? That's how intense the situation is. using the eloquence that misery sometimes brings. Jeremiah felt God opposed and even attacked him and the people of Judah like a lion, and it was waiting for a surprise attack. So Pastor, what are you saying? Jeremiah felt like God was not listening to their prayer. He felt the heaviness. He felt the gloom. He felt the despair, and he felt like God had set them up and like a lion was waiting to make a surprise attack, not sure where or how to move, afraid of what's getting ready to happen, waiting for the other shoe to drop. And there's so many people that are living on bated breath right now because they don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what's going to happen January 1. They don't know if there's going to be an increase in the stimulus packages, because I'm telling you, $600 is not really a lot of money. They don't know how they're going to feed their kids or what they're going to do. So they're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Do you know that it is bad to feel that you're under attack by the enemy? But it's worse when you feel that God himself is the one who beats the bow or who bends the bow and is using you as a target. We all get there. We all get to that place where we feel like God has turned his back on us. I remember a time that I was going through something and I asked God, did you go on vacation and not tell me? Because I'm telling you, I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm interceding, but I don't hear you. And so in our scripture on tonight, Jeremiah said this was the place where he had entered, and it felt like God was using him for target practice. Just about to go down for the last time, ready to give up. Desolation, despair, and heartache everywhere. The prophet starts to remember. I thank God that, you know what, when it seems like we don't know what we can do, all we can do is just sit down and be quiet. Because when it seemed like Jeremiah was not going to make it out, seemed like the people now had gone, you know, they had been taken into captivity. The streets was dark. There was nobody there. It seemed like a hopeless situation. But I want to tell somebody on tonight that although your situation might seem hopeless, all you have to do is think. We used to sing that song, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, then my soul starts to cry out, hallelujah. And I thank God for saving me. I can recall the times when God brought me out. Amen. So what happens is, even though I go down on my knees in despair and in tears and wondering if God's going to bring me through, God will cause the wheels of my brain to start turning now. And my mind goes back to the time when I was ready to just throw in the towel, when depression and anxiety were my bedfellows. God came in like a mighty lion, and therefore I have hope. When God leaves life, he leaves hope. So when God comes in, he brings a fresh anointing for us to go through what we're going through. Whenever God leaves life, he leaves hope in a magnificent expression of faith in the unfailing mercies of God. Jeremiah looks to the distant future with renewed hope. We focus on where we are, and we focus on what we're going through, and we focus on what we have in the bank, and we focus on, you know, what the job is saying, what the employer is saying. But if we would just shift our mind and put our focus on God, God will renew our strength and give us a renewed hope. And so you ask, hope in the Lord? Yes, 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 yes. He is my deliverer. He's my strong tower. He is the rock of Gibraltar. In him I have strength. God said, I would have fainted. David said, I would have fainted unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That means that I don't see it now. It's not happening now. But as I look forward, as I look onward, as I look in Christ, I see that God is going to deliver me. He starts to say that God never forsakes his own. God will bring us out of that right away. God will come to the rescue. Even though I don't see it now, my faith takes me to a place where I can stand on God's word. Hope in God. Yes, yes. He is everything that we need. He is all that we can think about. God will come and rescue his own. Let me say that again. God will. He will come and rescue his own. We have to wait for the Lord to act. We think he's going to come right away, you know? We think he's going to come like yesterday. We think he's going to come like an email that shoots through the internet. No, sometimes he has to steady us in the midst of the situation so that he can do what it is that he wants us to do, or do what it is that he wants to do in us, with us, and through us. Listen, be strong. Let your heart take courage and wait. Wait for the Lord. Why wait? Somebody said, why don't he come right now? Why wait? God has proven himself to be faithful over and over again. I trust him. Even if he does not deliver me. Now, that, no, that's a hard one right there. Even if he does not deliver me, I am going to trust him, because I realize that if he don't bring me out, he's going to give me the strength to stand in the middle of it. Amen. I'm going to say it again. Because I'm excited, and I'm excited tonight because this was a word that I had to fight for all day long. I don't know who needs this word tonight, but I had to fight for this word all day long. And so listen, if he don't bring me out, then that means that, guess what? He's going to give me the strength to stand right in the middle of it. If he doesn't rescue me, that means that he's going to put strength all around me, that I will be able to stand, and having done all to stand, I will continue to stand because God is on my side. I will not fear because I have confidence in God that he will never forget his own. You know, there are times that we forget one another. There are times that we say to one another, I'm praying for you, but we're really not praying. There are times that, you know, we say, I'm here for you. All you have to do is call. But when you call, the phone automatically goes to voicemail. But one thing I have learned in my 45 years or 43 years of being saved is the fact that God never forgets his own. So I trust him. I trust that God will come and act on my behalf. So while I wait, I worship. I will praise God in expectation of what he is about to do. I will wait in anticipation of his promises concerning me. I will not give up, for faith gives me the ability to see beyond the visible and to discern the invisible. And so you know what? While I'm waiting, I'm just going to do a little dance. While I'm waiting, I'm just going to raise my hands. While I'm waiting, I'm just going to glorify God. While I'm waiting, I'm just going to sing his praises, because I know that visible, well, that God will give me the ability to see beyond the invisible. You got to see beyond what you see. You got to see beyond where you are. That's why you got to speak those things that are not, even though they are, and call those things that are not into vision. Call them into God bringing it forth. Call them into manifestation. Call them into God going forth in your life. Call those things that are not. Amen. I talk to my brother like every other day. My brother is a really funny guy. Okay. And so today we were talking about something, and you know, he was saying, well, Chris, I don't. I said, oh, no, sir. No, sir, man. I said, listen, the blessings of the God of the Lord maketh one rich, but addeth no sorrow. God's going to bless us. We're going to buy mansions. He said, Chris, how are we going to buy a mansion? I said, oh, no, sir. We're going to do it. I said, not only is God going to give us the 1.5 million to buy the house, therefore that we don't have a mortgage on it, but God's going to give us the $1 million to fix it up and buy furniture for it. He said, where are we going to get that kind of money from? Have faith in God. Have faith. God gives me the ability to see beyond what my natural eyes can see and discern the invisible of what he's getting ready to do. Somebody give God a praise right there. Somebody send God a hallelujah right there. Somebody give God a hallelujah right there. I'm excited because today was a battle. Today was a struggle, and I had to fight my way out. So I thank God, because I know that God is speaking to somebody's heart on tonight. Take courage. God knows where you are. Take courage. God has placed you there for a reason and a season. Be encouraged on tonight. You are not going to lose your mind. You are not going to end up in an asylum. God has his hand on you. He said, I know where you are, and I have you there for purpose, on purpose, with purpose, and in due season. Come on, somebody give God praise. In due season, I will bring you out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is almost like I can hear the prophet say, you know, it is through the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Listen, there's no goodness of our own, nothing that we've done. We didn't deserve the mercy of God, but because he is God and he gives mercy to whom he chooses and compassion to whom he desires, his mercies never fail. They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Great is his compassion. Great is his love toward us. Our brain can't even figure it out. Our brain can't even comprehend how much God loves us. Listen, I got one boy. Amen. He's not a boy. He's a grown man with a child of his own, married and with a child. But to me, he's still my boy. And I do not know if I could have stood where Mary stood and allowed them to crucify him. I don't know if I, being God, could allow my only son to go to the cross for people he knew would never accept him, but God allowed it to be so. God loves his people that much. It is through the mercies of God that we are not consumed. Great is his faithfulness. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Great is his compassion. Great is his love toward us. Sometimes we just need to stand in it. Sometimes we just need to sit in it. Sometimes we just need to say, God, I know that you're here for me, because you know what? I don't know what I'm going to do if you leave me, but I'm going to sit right. Sometimes we just need to bask ourselves in it. Sometimes we just need to just sit in the presence and in the love of God and let him fill our hearts and our souls. My God. He brings new mercies, new provisions, brings forgiveness for sins, brings new strength for new temptations every morning without fail. God does that because he loves us. Church, God has been faithful. He has kept you here. He has protected you. He has provided for you. His love and compassion has surrounded you. He has allowed you to stand in the midst of great trials. And guess what? Through all that you have been through, you are still here. Amen. I wish somebody would get a mirror on tonight and look at yourself and say, you know what? I may not have had all that I wanted, but I'm still here. I might have had to take a pay cut and had to take some loss, but I'm still here. I might have had to go through some trials and situations, but I am still here because God has blessed me. Listen, he has allowed you to stand in the midst of great trials and you're still here. You're still standing. And the scripture says he's making up his jewels, and he promised you in this year. Let me go back. He's making up his jewels. You know, I heard that when they make up a diamond, or when, you know, when they went into Africa to pull out all these diamonds out of the caves, I heard that the diamonds look just like, you know, like a dirty rock or a dirty stone. And as they put it down in the water, shook the dirt off of it a little bit, it was clear to them what it was that they had. And so what I'm saying to my brothers and sisters, that even though you have gone through, God is perfecting you. God is making you great. God is watching over you. God is keeping you. God is doing great things in your life. So he says he's making up his jewels, and he promises you. Amen. Listen, I want you to catch this. He is promising you in this new year of 2021, divine favor, promises, not just for houses and land. Anybody can buy houses and land. All you got to do is have good credit or good friend at the bank. But he's promising you divine favor and access to his throne room. You will go boldly into his presence and know that he will answer your request. God is doing something for you, with you, and through you, through the trials that you're going through. God is shaping you and molding you and getting you ready for greater blessings than you could ever think or imagine. You got to stand on it and believe that there's something bigger and better than this. God said he will answer your request. You can come boldly into his presence and he will answer your request. God said, I got you. I got you. No matter what it seems like, he said, I got you. No matter what it feels like, he said, I got you. It's not time to give up now. It's not time to throw in the towel now. It's not time to feel like woe is me, but it's time to stand and decree and declare the promises of our Lord. I'm going to close with this. The little lady that I told you about that I met in the park. Amen. As she was telling me all that she was going through, I told you tears. I couldn't imagine somebody going through all of that. Not all at the same time. But you know what? Sometimes it feels like trouble just keep on coming. Like it just really has our name on it. So I asked her, I said, tell me, how did you endure all of that suffering? I couldn't even imagine going through what this precious lady had gone through. And you know what she told me? She was like maybe 110 pounds. All right. Beautiful lady. And so she said, I used to be a boxer. She said, what I learned was I could lay on that bed and die, or I could fight my way out. And she said, I began to fight. I began to use the skills that I had learned through training as a boxer. And I learned that I'm not going to let nothing keep me from my goal. I'm not going to let anything keep me from that which God has said that I can have. I'm not going to die. I'll speak to myself, and I'm going to keep on getting up as long as God gives me the strength to do so. So my brothers and my sisters, keep on getting up. Keep on believing God that 2021 is going to be a year to remember. 2021, some of you are going to come out. Some of you are going to come out as great warriors. Some of you are going to walk into your calling and walk into your gift. Some of you are going to be blessed exceedingly abundantly above all you can think or imagine. Some of you are going to snatch your children out of the hellfire. Some of you are going to be dynamic preachers and teachers in the next wave. Listen, just wait on God. He's doing it. So what you're going through is just getting you ready for the next level. It's giving you the strength to climb to that next mountain. Don't worry. God's going to do it. He's faithful. You don't have to worry about it. He will bring you through in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for everyone that was attached to Zoom on tonight. Father, I thank you. I know in my heart and my soul that this word was for somebody. Somebody that's going through, somebody that's hurting, somebody has lost much. God, you allowed it to be so because there's a place in the kingdom that you're taking them. I thank you, Father, that Lord, they're going to look back and they're going to say it was good that I was afflicted. It was good that I went through that. It was good that my heart was troubled, because God has brought us out on the other side and brought us out to do exploits for him. People will be encouraged and people will be able to stand because of the testimony that God has given unto us. So I thank you for that on tonight, dear God, in Jesus' name. My brothers and sisters, hold on. It's about to get better. It's about to get interesting. Don't give up now. I pray that God will bless you and keep you. Peace. That's my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.